This is Lake Effect Weekend from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. In our news roundup this week, we'll talk about the new bill that further restricts abortions in Wisconsin, which was passed in both houses of the legislature. The governor is promising to sign that bill into law. Then will Wisconsin accept additional federal monies for Medicaid? We'll also talk about Milwaukee's troubled Social Development Commission, which suffered another blow this week, and about a new program to deal with foreclosed homes in Milwaukee. Bruce Murphy joins me, as he does each week, to talk about the news. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, Bonnie. Good to be here.
Great to talk to you, as always. And an interesting week in the news, because this week both houses of the state legislature passed a bill with new restrictions on abortion. So what does the law do? Let's start right from the beginning.
Well, it would require women seeking an abortion to get an ultrasound, and it would also require doctors performing them to have hospital admitting privileges. So this would probably mean there'd be less doctors to perform abortions, and it means, you know, the ultrasound would probably, the Republicans would hope, would delay or make it harder to get an abortion.
But it sounds like the discussions got incredibly contentious.
Well, they certainly did. I mean, it was a classic pro and anti-abortion fight with the usual arguments on both sides. Senate President Mike Ellis ended up having to pound his gavel repeatedly and shout down the Democrats, who demanded more time to debate the issue. I would say the most memorable statement on the Senate floor was by Mary Lasich, the state senator from New Berlin, who said of abortion that, quote, "It became popular in the 60s, and it was almost the thing to do. You needed to get one of them to be a woman." Needless to say, that caused quite an uproar by Democrats.
Yes, I imagine that it did. What do you think Governor Walker will do now? Will he sign the bill?
He's already said that he will, and Republicans still intend to pass another bill that would eliminate coverage of abortions by any health insurer for any government worker in the state.
Well, do you find any of this surprising, and is that last likely to pass?
I think it's likely to pass, since the Republicans, you know, have control of both houses. And that's interesting because, you know, once upon a time there were some pro-choice Republicans and some pro-life Democrats, but those days are long gone. And so with the Republicans in a majority in both houses, it's a given that you'll have more restrictions on abortion passed, and that's exactly what's happening.
What do you think is going to happen in terms of next elections?
Well, you know, that's way too early to tell. I mean, it's a lot of the districts after the redistricting are probably safe enough for Republicans that there won't be any blowback on this issue. But as you know, it is an issue in which people feel very strongly. It just depends on the makeup of the district.
Well, you mentioned Republicans being moderate on the issue and Democrats not being so moderate. Well, there's been some discussion about recruiting Republican moderates on another issue, and that involves federal money for Medicaid. What's involved with that?
Well, that relates to Obamacare, which goes into effect January 2014. And as part of the effort to extend coverage to more people, the federal government is providing more dollars for Medicaid to every state. So for Wisconsin, this would actually give us $450 million more for the 2014 to 2020 period and provide coverage for 85,000 more people. But Walker and the Republicans refused it in their budget. But it appears that there may be some Republicans who are wavering because it's a big loss of money for their district. And Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson of Milwaukee has said that, you know, the Democrats hope to flip a couple of the senators to oppose Walker.
Well, how do you think the politics are going to play out on this?
Well, the politics on this are really deep and national. I mean, there's what's been happening is the Republican strategists nationally have been pushing governors and state legislators to do everything they can to oppose Obamacare, including this expansion of Medicaid. But there have been 10 Republican governors who have accepted the new federal dollars for Medicaid. One of those was Chris Christie of New Jersey, who said, "This is simple. We have an opportunity to provide more health care for people in our state." Walker, by contrast, says he won't accept the money because the federal government may someday cut off the funding. One conservative analyst noted that Walker's stance will give him a leg up on Christie and the other opponents in the 2016 Republican presidential primary because Walker stood up for what the party wanted.
Well, do you expect the Republican legislators then to support Governor Walker on this?
Well, here's the thing. None of those legislators are running for president. You know, they have to get reelected in their district. And they have to defend the bill that is bringing, you know, the way the Republicans have written it, is bringing less money to their district than if they had voted for the increased Medicaid. So it depends on the makeup of the district. If the district has a significant number of poor or lower middle class people who might have gotten coverage from this, this could hurt them with the voters. And, you know, that could influence their vote.
Well, how many Republican state senators would have to switch their vote in order to stop this?
Just two. But this is part of an omnibus budget bill, so they'd have to threaten to vote against the entire budget to get that measure changed. So you could have some complicated deal-making behind the scenes to change the budget at that point. So it's just hard to say how that's likely to shake out. It's a complicated situation.
And it remains to be seen, obviously.
Yes.
Well, closer to home, the fortunes of the Social Development Commission took a turn for the worse. What happened there?
Well, Bonnie, you'll remember we've talked about their problems before. The latest is that they've lost their federal Head Start money. Now, this was a $26 million contract, and Head Start funding has been a mainstay for STC over the years. Federal officials said they were dropping the agency from consideration because of its poor performance in recent years. And then Hannah Dugan, the interim director of STC, quit, saying she disagreed with the board's decision to legally appeal the federal decision to drop STC from the Head Start program. So a lot of big changes there.
Well, what is the likely impact of all of this on STC?
Not good. I mean, their last executive director resigned under fire in January. Now Dugan has quit after just 3 months. They've had turnover on the board. And this loss of money will shrink the organization, and I'm guessing would mean staff layoffs. So it just seems like a very troubled organization.
What about the impact on Milwaukee beyond the organization itself?
Well, in the short run, I'm guessing no impact. Several other organizations have applied for the Head Start money, including Milwaukee Public Schools. So that will continue to be provided. Somebody's going to get that contract. But STC has a long history going back to the 1960s when it began as part of the war on poverty. And for a long time, it was really the anti-poverty agency in Milwaukee, kind of an umbrella agency that leveraged all its various grants and pots of money to have as much impact as it could. So its gradual unraveling could have an impact, depending on whether other nonprofits and governments in town can continue to take up the slack.
Right, and to have that kind of broad scope.
Yes.
Right. Well, one of those anti-poverty issues that you mentioned was also in the news this week. Mayor Tom Barrett announced a new program to deal with taxed foreclosed homes. What are the details here?
Well, he wants to allocate $2.4 million to demolish dilapidated homes that were foreclosed and taken over by the city because the owners couldn't pay the taxes. And the plan also provides financial supports to groups like Habitat for Humanity to acquire other homes that are falling apart and rehabilitate and resell them.
Well, in the past, both the mayor and police chief Ed Flynn have talked about the problem of foreclosed homes. Why? What is the problem?
You know, these foreclosed homes are just neighborhood killers. They become vacant, they start to fall apart, they lower the value of other homes on the block, and they're an invitation to gangs to turn them into drug houses. So they also breed crime. So for both the mayor and the police chief, this has become a key priority to address.
But in this case, Barrett seemed to be jumping on a proposal that was actually done by aldermen.
Yes, the lead sponsor was Common Council President Willie Hines, who, of course, has been suggested over the years as a possible candidate for mayor. Hines and a few other aldermen suggested grabbing $1 million from the city contingency fund for this, and so Barrett did them $1.4 million better with his proposal.
So will all of this still need the approval of the Common Council to go forward?
Yes, but I think passage is likely. From a broader perspective for all the aldermen, this is about protecting the property tax base. So, you know, even if it isn't in their district, because if the overall property tax declines, then you drive down the city's revenue. I mean, that's really their main revenue generator. So no alderman wants that, and they all tend to say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to vote for this because I want to keep up the property tax base.
Well, Bruce Murphy, as always, an interesting news week. Thanks so much for helping us put it into perspective, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Okay, Bonnie, my pleasure.
Bruce Murphy is the editor and chief columnist for the online daily UrbanMilwaukee.com, and he's Lake Effect Weekend's regular news analyst. It's still early in the season, but sports contributor Howie Magner is kind of blue when he thinks about the Brewers. He'll join us next when Lake Effect Weekend returns on WUWM.